Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Am I wrong? Thinking of the box from where I stay. Am I wrong for saying that I choose another way?
Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally. And I believe, Sean Wally, you are still in France. Am I correct? How you doing today? Sean?
You are incorrect. Belgium is now the place.
Oh my goodness. In Belgium. So tell me, what are the likes of Belgium? I mean, I love the fact that you are traveling all over the place, getting a chance to see different vineyards, different countries, different cities. I mean, man, what's Belgium like outside of it? Have you had the waffle yet?
Man, I have no idea. We just rolled in at 1 this morning, which was 3 hours ago, so I cannot tell you much.
Oh, you're catching me off guard here, man. I mean, that's the way traveling goes, I guess. I mean, you're living out of a suitcase day in, day out. You know, we try to paint a picture for our listeners on how, you know, it's fun for you to do this jaunting around the world, but it has to take its toll at some point. You know, living out of a suitcase, and then, you know, one day you're in France, and next day you're in Belgium. But, you know, I'm sure you'll get some rest and you'll be ready to go. Do you have a game tonight?
Absolutely. Game just about every single day. We've had one day off in a month, and we just keep pressing on. So, yeah, we play two games in Belgium starting what will be Tuesday night for us here in Europe.
Now, Sean, I would be remiss, and I apologize for not starting this off, at the beginning of the show, and for all our listeners and everything. And for those of you who know Sean Wally and follow him on Facebook, yesterday – gosh, I don't even know what day it is over in Belgium, but I'd probably say the day before yesterday for you was a very special day in celebrating your birthday. So I just wanted to, you know, for all of our listeners and everything who are listening, you know, just go ahead and follow in with happy birthday to Mr. Sean Wally. You can go ahead and sing along if you would like. That's right. Happy birthday to you, Mr. Sean Wally. Hey, man, I love you, man. And so I just wanted to send that shout out to you, and I hope you hopefully you had an awesome birthday.
Well, thanks, man. It was definitely great to be in France for a birthday. I didn't get to have a ton of extracurricular fun at all because we had, of course, a game and travel before and afterwards, but definitely very memorable being in Europe for a birthday. And, you know, hey, a new year and great things have happened in the last few months, so we'll just keep that rolling.
That's right, man. Definitely have to keep it rolling. And, you know, I'm kind of going through a few withdrawals, man, if we shift gears a little bit. But last week we were talking a lot about the NCAA tournament, and that had lasted for a while. And we had Leo Clark of Leo J TV on, and, you know, we talked about predictions, and Wisconsin was actually on their way to beating Duke. But, you know, There's something about that NCAA, and there's something about putting together the brackets. And, you know, I just like saying the word bracket. Is that crazy, Sean? I mean, I just kind of miss that whole portion of the NCAA tournament, but I am glad that Duke won.
Well, you know, maybe that is one of your favorite words, but it's also many people's favorite time of year because of the tournament, the brackets, the office pools, and the chance to watch games. nearly every day of the week, especially later in the week and the weekend. And it's not something you can do every day and have a tournament atmosphere and have really any team have a shot.
So, of course, you're the head coach of the Washington Generals, and you know a lot of your players have played collegiately. I mean, is there a heightened time of the year for them as well as the NCAA tournament? I know this time of the year for the NBA with the playoffs coming around, do they really get themselves amped up? You know, and talk about that a lot in the locker room.
Oh, of course. Anything dealing with basketball, these guys are all over it. I mean, these guys have, as they would say, it pooped all of their life. And that's what they know. That's what they eat, sleep, and breathe. And there was a bracket challenge amongst the players for, of course, Monopoly money. And, you know, guys were watching games when they could at any hour, staying up till 2, 3, 4 a.m. like I am right now. And, you know, they'd find a way to watch games online or just follow them on certain apps. And, yeah, they definitely eat, sleep, and breathe basketball and talk NBA as much as they can.
And so, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, what's the age group for the players? Do they still keep a window open as far as their aspirations are concerned at getting, you know, maybe possibly to the NBDL, maybe the NBA? Because a lot of these players have, let's face it, they have the talent. If you can do a windmill 360 dunk in the air and can shoot the lights out at 70%, you know, I'm sure that they have some aspirations at some point to possibly leaving the circuit, or maybe this is just their perfect place and they don't want anything else. I mean, what's the atmosphere like?
Well, you've got a good mixture of all of the above, because like a guy like Flight Time, who a lot of people know because he's been on various TV shows like Amazing Race, and he's been a Globetrotter for many, many, many years. He's in his later 30s, and I believe he's been around 16 to 18 years as a Globetrotter. And then you've got other guys that are first-year players, and you know, somebody as young as 22, fresh out of college. So I think there's a good mix of not only skill and age, but a mixture of maybe guys are looking to play pro ball overseas. I'm not necessarily thinking there are too many NBA hopefuls. I'm sure they're all dreaming that way, but you know, for most of them, if it was going to happen, it would have happened by now.
Yeah, you know, and of course, you guys are making an honest living, and of course, it's going to be coming to an end just for a short period of time for you. But man, take a deep breath and do it all again. Which, you know, are you prepared for that? Do you get a chance to actually lament on a few things, or actually think about, you know, how the year went, or does it just seem like it's just going to go right into the next phase?
Well, a little bit of both, because I mean, the big thing right now is trying to figure out how to use my 2 weeks of time wisely, and what all I need to do, and who all I need to try and see, because of course I need to get things done around the house. I need to repack for my next trip. I need to also take a second to relax myself. So a lot to try and get done in that 2 week time off, and actually be able to feel that it is time off before we take off for Hawaii, a place you know and love and have been to. And I mean, of course, everybody probably does that has been there or seen it from TV or the internet. And, you know, it's going to be somewhat similar because we have, I believe, 9 of our players going on that tour, both teams combined. But it'll be a little different too, because we'll have some new players and a different Globetrotter coach as well.
Well, man, there's a lot that's put into the great spectacle that is the Harlem Globetrotters. And, you know, week after week, we continue to talk about awesome things about the Globetrotters, and you give us great insight on what it's like behind the scenes. And, you know, I'm sure a few of our listeners will definitely take heed and moving forward. And so that's exciting, man. I can't help but be proud of you and the things that you're doing. And I know that, you know, for our listeners, again, you're encouraging me to actually take that step forward. And so, you know, that's something that I'm definitely in strong consideration with. And so who knows, maybe we'll be doing shows from each different city from around the country simultaneous. You know, who knows if we will be on the same circuit, or even if we're not on the same circuit, we'll give a great prospectus as far as the Harlem Globetrotters are concerned.
Well, it's great. It really, really is. I mean, it's the best office. It sure beats the old desk and the old desk job. And, you know, even going further back to the customer service days, is that you can definitely relate to yourself that, you know, there's no way I would change it or go back to any of those old positions. And I mean, yeah, it's grueling, some of the travel. And I mean, today we were on a bus for nearly 6 hours before the game and 2.5 to 3 after the game. So take a look right there. What's that? About 9 hours, give or take, on a bus plus a game. So it's not all glitz and glamour, but at the same time, we got to go to Monaco on Friday. So that was amazing. And we had a few hours to check out the sights and the town. And then also after the game, there was time for us to take a look around and sightsee and, you know, check out the Monaco Grand Prix track and Monte Carlo. And so, yeah, it's definitely a lot more pros than cons.
Well, man, we'll always have that in our back pocket, you know, as far as a great things too that you're accomplishing with the Harlem Globetrotters. I want to shift gears a little bit into the association, the National Basketball Association, that is. And I don't know how much you're keeping up with it, Sean, but there is a huge race in the Western Conference for the 8th spot. And right now, the New Orleans Pelicans are sitting in that 8th and final spot with 2 games left in the season. And there's one team that is tied, but the tiebreaker right now goes to the Pelicans, and that other team is the OKC Thunder. Of course, we have Russell Westbrook trying to keep his team alive, and right now they're doing an excellent job with about 2 minutes left. Looks like that game's in the balance, but, you know, 2 games left in the season. OKC's beating Portland. We've got another game coming up. I believe that is against San Antonio, that might be the Pelicans that are against San Antonio. But what do you think about this race coming down to the end, and who do you think is going to get that 8th and final spot?
First of all, Pelicans, that needs to be changed. I mean, come on.
Hey, it's Louisiana. It's the Pelican State. They meant well. I mean, it was the Hornets for a little bit and Jazz. I wish that New Orleans had the chance to get the naming rights to the Jazz back. And I know that, you know, back then, you know, the Utah bought the team and they moved up to Salt Lake City. But you're right. It just doesn't sound right for the Pelicans, for it to be the Pelicans, even though it is the Pelican State. But I would love for it to be the New Orleans Jazz again.
Exactly. That would make a lot of sense. It's already been there in the past. And yeah, Utah, I mean, you think they would change to something that would make more sense for their area as well.
Yeah, you know, maybe like the Utah Bees. I don't know. Maybe that sounds a little oaky, but, you know, they are the Beehive State. But, you know, yeah, so again, your take on who's going to take this number 8 spot?
Well, you know that I'm going to go there, but it's karma coming back to get Clay Bennett and the Thunder, because you look at Kevin Durant, one of the best players in the league, the one of the great draft picks in Sonic history. He's been out the majority of the year, and he's officially done for the rest of the season. So Russell Westbrook is trying to carry that team and put them on his shoulders, and it's not working out. Yes, he's a great player. Yes, he's had a zillion triple-doubles, as we've talked about on the show, but he basically has to for them to have a chance without Kevin Durant's help. And it's looking more and more like those Pelicans are probably going to get that final spot, unless, I mean, really, that they hold their own destiny. So, I mean, if they want to go to the playoffs and have a shot, all you have to do is win. And if they do, Pelicans will be in. If they don't, they stub their toe, stumble, fold under the pressure, it's possible the Thunder could squeak into the playoffs.
You know, and you hit some good points there, because, you know, I actually do think that the Pelicans have the better team. It's just, you know, they're a younger team. They're trying to find themselves. They have, you know, a young sensation in Davis that just, you know, he's going to continue to do some great, great things. You know, they've got the pieces in place. You know, they got a strong shooting guard in Eric Gordon. You know, one of your favorites as well, University of Washington alum, and that's Quincy Pondexter, that's doing an awesome job. And the Pelicans just, I believe that they have what it takes to make it through. It's just, you know, they're going to be a team that's going to go through some learning, a learning curve, and they will have the chance. If by chance they do make it to the playoffs, they'll have a chance to play against my Golden State Warriors. And I just think that it's not going to be fun for the number 8 team, whether it is OKC or New Orleans. And so either way, I just think that, you know, this battle is an interesting battle. And I just wanted to see what your take was on it, because, again, when they get in the first round, it's going to be all she wrote.
Yeah, as we know in the Pacific Northwest, Sonic fans know all too well that the 8th seed very rarely beats number 1 seed. And unfortunately, back in 94, Sonics were one of the first teams to fall to an 8th seed when the Denver Nuggets came into Key Arena and took care of business. But that happens so very rarely, and especially with Kevin Durant being out, the Thunder aren't going to be the number 1 seed, and the same holds true for the Pelicans.
Man, you really bring up some hard memories, man. That was tough. You know, that best of 5 series to actually watch the Sonics fall to defeat to the number 8 seed Denver Nuggets. I mean, you don't have to be a Sonics fan or a Nuggets fan to see, to remember that vividly. I remember Dikembe Mutombo on his back on the floor when the clock hits zeros, and you see Sean Kemp kind of make a little swipe at the ball, you know, just out of angst and disgust from losing that game and in disbelief. I remember Key Arena just being quiet as a church mouse as the clock hit zeros, and, you know, a number 1 beating a number 8 seed. That it hardly happens, but when it does, man, it shocks the world, I tell you that.
And that was so, man, sad, because that Sonic team was awesome. I mean, you know, the year prior, they're in the conference finals, facing Charles Barkley and the Suns in 93. And then 94 rolls around, and that happens. It was just such a shock, such a culture shock.
You know, and We're getting that same coach in George Karl. He's here in Sacramento, and Sacramento needs an infusion. Let's face it. I mean, when you have a coach like George Karl, and we know this back in Seattle with the 60 win seasons, and, you know, winning about 55 to 60 games a year in his tenure, and it was fun. Those are fun times, regular season, but something happens in the playoffs. And, you know, when his teams get into the playoffs, it becomes a different a different deal. Now, I am excited at the fact that George Karl is here in Sacramento, because I believe that he is what it, you know, what the team needs as far as getting them back to that winning environment. Because right now they're, you know, probably the second to the last, third to the last team. You know, they're playing the Lakers tonight, which which is probably the second to the last team, and then the, you know, to the New York Knicks. But you know, I think Sacramento will need that, especially with a new arena coming up in the next 2 years. And I think that, you know, George Karl coming in, getting some victories in would be great for that new arena.
Absolutely. Any momentum you can build helps bring in more fans, helps sell more tickets, helps merchandise. So whatever they can do to get those final wins and you know, free agency and the draft will be big for them as well.
And, you know, the that's the great thing about George Karl. And, you know, we had a coach here in Sacramento a while ago when Sacramento was winning, who's pretty similar to George Karl in Rick Adelman. And Rick Adelman was the type of coach that got 50 wins for you. You know, your team was the top of the division, maybe, you know, battling with the Lakers or the Sonics or something like that. But, you know, complacency happened over time. You know, ownership gets tired of finishing in second place and feeling like, you know, there's, they can do better. And the Sacramento Kings haven't done any better. They haven't, you know, since Rick Adelman left, it's just been turmoil with the organization. And, you know, now they're looking to go right back to that same type of a person in George Karl. But I think that it's definitely what Sacramento needs.
Well, you've had a changing at the guard with ownership. So hopefully there's a new direction, a new philosophy with the organization from top to bottom, and they can right the ship.
Yeah, you know, and again, you know, I believe that George Karl will definitely do that. And so, you know, it remains to be seen. I know the ownership is definitely, you know, looking to make sure that they put a good product on the court. And I think that, you know, George Karl will definitely do that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines. We're going to talk a little bit more sports, of course. We're going to open up those phone lines at 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is awesome.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400. The safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on The Double with the Double S Express.
Someone once said, you don't grip a baseball. A baseball grips you. It fills our days and brightens our nights. Over the course of a season and the span of a lifetime. We share hope, drama, and joy. It brings us all closer together, 9 innings at a time. It's the game we live. It's the game we love. Welcome back, baseball. Welcome back.
The late, great, amazing voice of Dave Niehaus. His favorite time of year, you know, he is smiling this time of year. Up in heaven, and goodness, if that didn't put a smile on your face, Sean Boyd, I don't know what would.
Oh, my goodness, man. You know, this show, I tell you, it just keeps getting better and better. You know, we insert cool stuff like that, and, you know, all I could envision was, you know, myself for the first time at 6 years old, you know, my dad taking me up to the elementary school, and I remember, never forget how when he bought me my first glove, and you know, we put oil in it, and you know, baby oil to soften up the leather, and you know, he taught me how to put the rubber band around it to break the glove in, and I slept on it, had the glove under my pillow, and you know, that first time out there, getting a chance to smell the grass, and you know, just that element, and to hear Dave Niehaus doing that there, I tell you. That's a great feeling. That's an awesome feeling, man. And baseball season is here, and we are underway, and it is early, but some interesting things are taking place, Sean Wally.
Well, you had exciting baseball all weekend down there in Oakland as the Mariners came on down to a place they do not like to play, the O.co, and man, Friday... Friday sure lived to all of the Mariners' nightmares. It looked like every Mariner pitcher was throwing batting practice as the A's dominated, 11-0?
Yeah, well, you know, it looks like it's feast or famine for all the teams in the West, man. And so, you know, there's some good things that the teams do, and then they, you know, they'll come out another night and look like they're not so good. And so, you know, the beginning of the season is showing that it's going to be a long season.
Well, I think the 3-game series with the Mariners and A's, and also you can add in the opening series the Mariners had with the Angels, the AL West is going to be the wild, wild West again in 2015. And it's going to be a roller coaster. I mean, take the three games the A's and Mariners just played. Friday night, 11-0. A's are flying high as a kite. The Mariners just got ran over, and they're scratching their heads trying to hit the reset button. And then the next two games are a complete roller coaster, back and forth. Each team thinks that they're going to win the game, and they're ahead. And, you know, each team's fighting and clawing and throwing punches. And then Nelson Cruz happens. Not once, but twice. Once Saturday, once Sunday. His first two Seattle Mariner home runs. And he has actually struck again here tonight in the first inning with at the L.A. Dodgers. So he now has three home runs in 3 days. So the boomstick is alive and well in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, and I, you know, we're six, 7 games in into the season of 162. And, you know, it's a little tough to try to gauge on who can do what. I mean, you know, again, you're talking about the West as of now. You know, Seattle sits tied atop the AL West at 500 at 3-3 with none other than the Houston Astros. And then you have Oakland, Texas, and the Los Angeles Angels. The Angels being at 2-4, the Athletics and the Rangers at 3-4. So you have one game separating the top from the bottom. And I'm just scratching my head because, you know, we're waiting for one of these teams to actually, you know, step out of the box. And of course, as you're saying, Seattle's down there in Los Angeles playing against the Dodgers up 2-0. Nelson Cruz is a part of that. You know, I can tell you when he hit those two game-winning home runs, you know, in Oakland, I'm like, my goodness, I wish he was in Baltimore. But, you know, again, it's early. You know, and you're looking at the Oakland A's as well, up 8-1. So, you know, these guys, you know, Oakland puts up a gang of numbers, and it's not hard for them to you know, to muster up runs. It's just trying to solidify that pitching. So, you know, again, the beginning of the season, you know, you're trying to find a way to see who's going to step out and be a front runner. But I don't think we're going to see that for quite some time. I think we're going to go well into July before we actually see one of these teams start to take control of this division.
But you were excited, I believe it was Sunday, when one Fernando Rodney did not get to shoot his arrow.
It's not when he doesn't, it's when he does. You know, it's just, it's the craziest thing. And maybe I put too much into it. It's just, you know, I don't know. It just bugs me for whatever reason that he points that arrow into the sky and, you know, like he does no wrong, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't hate the guy. I just think he's goofy.
It's kind of one of those things that, and I can see it if I looked at it objectively and took off the Mariner cap for a minute. It's like, what in the world is that? What in the world are you doing? And, you know, maybe that is sort of what goes through your head when he shoots that arrow and Logan Morrison runs over there and finds it and points it out with him. And it's kind of kooky, but kind of cool and fun at the same time.
So, yeah. So with 7 games into this major league season, what have we learned? What are we learning now with, you know, not just the AL West, but, you know, you're looking at the KC Royals. They are off and running 7-0. They're trying to, you know, prove that they are a perennial and consistent team, and they want to get back to the World Series as well. Of course, you know, coming up short last year to the San Francisco Giants out here in the Bay. And so what's your take, you know, in these first 7-8 games of the season?
Well, you know, yeah, the Royals still look like they are legit contenders, and we'll see how far they can take that undefeated streak. And, you know, a lot of the teams that people thought are going to be there in the end, and who knows, some people think this is a World Series preview right now at Dodger Stadium, Dodgers Mariners. It would be phenomenal for the West Coast. It would be phenomenal for both Western divisions to be represented. if that was the case, you've got two of the best pitchers on those rosters with Clayton Kershaw and, of course, Felix Hernandez in Seattle. So we'll see what happens the next handful of months and how that all shakes out. But, yeah, there's a ton of games to go. And, you know, if you look around the entire standings of Major League Baseball, outside of the Royals, seems to be a lot of, I don't know if parity is the right word yet, because we're only 6, 7, 8 games in, but you know, there's a lot of divisions.
I would use the word mediocrity. I mean, because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at a lot of teams that are around 500, you know, and everybody's in it. That AL East is crazy too. You know, you got a 5-2 team in the Red Sox, and then the Baltimore Orioles at 3-4. You know, and you know, I don't know. You're right. It just seems like I wouldn't use the word parity. I would use mediocrity, just because that's what we're looking at now. You know, we're looking at a lot of teams that are just trying to find themselves and get things going, and it's just a matter of time.
Well, I mean, you've got the Braves at 5-1, the Reds at 4-2, the Rockies in the NL West at 5-2. So, I mean, there's some teams that have a decent cushion and are a handful of games over 500. You know, it's not like everybody's at 500 or below. You know, the Red Sox 5-2, Toronto 4-2, as you mentioned, Kansas City 7-0, the Detroit Tigers 6-1. So those two teams are taking care of the Central. Everybody else is being mopped up. And then you already went over the AL West with the Astros playing decent ball to start off the season. And, you know, the first 20 games of the season are pretty important because you're playing within your own division. So, you know, it should be a dogfight. It should be a battle. And, you know, of course, any team would like to get out to a 4, 5, 6 game lead after those first 20 games. But at the same time, if you want to have a battle or race in a good division, you want a little bit of parity, and you want, you know, every game to be up in the air and not necessarily knowing who's going to win. You know, granted, rewinding to 2001 for Seattle fans was phenomenal, because you felt that every night they were going to win in whatever city, whatever ballpark, no matter who was pitching. But what did that get them in the end? Nothing. You know, as they flamed out in the playoffs. Just unheard of how you can win 116 games and then just do nothing in the postseason. One of the biggest question marks in baseball history. And so I guess that's one example. You can't really tell everything based off the regular season. More often than not, you can. And, you know, this American League West that we deal with our favorite teams and the teams that we pay attention to the most, you know, right now it looks like, I don't want to say all the teams are even, but they're pretty close. And I'd say the surprise at the moment is the fact that Houston is right there in first place.
Yeah, that's a huge surprise, because, you know, they're expected to lose about 90 games. You know, that's one of the predictions this year, is that they'll have more losses than wins. But, you know, there they are, tied for first place with the Mariners right now, and, you know, with plenty of baseball left. You'd mentioned the Seattle Mariner team, 116-win team, how tough of a pill that was to swallow. The AL East, the New York Yankees, always seem to be a team that is in the thick of things, whether they're predicted to win or not, they're always in it. But, man, they have a player back, one of our buddies, long-lost friend from up in Seattle once upon a time, Alex Rodriguez, hit a home run out yesterday, and that puts him about five home runs away from breaking Hank Aaron's all-time home run record. Wow. What do you think about Alex Rodriguez coming in and trying to break this home run record by Hank Aaron?
Well, I think it was a bit surprising that he got a pretty good ovation in New York for his return and their first home game. You know, with all of his background and the things he's done off the field and the steroids or whatever performance-enhancing drug he has tried or used over the years, and for him to get basically a positive reaction, that surprised me a bit. But yeah, I mean, as long as he's healthy, there's no doubt he's going to surpass Aaron, which is a travesty. And I think that no matter what happens, there's always going to be that black cloud over the name Alex Rodriguez when it comes to any record in baseball.
You know, his personal gain and what he's trying to do here just kind of rubs you the wrong way. You know, it's typical Alex Rodriguez. I mean, you know, it's not enough that he's one of the top paid players, in Major League Baseball history, if not the top paid player. He stands to make $22 million this year. You know, it's funny, the Yankees, because, you know, we talk about, you know, salaries, and the Yankees have the biggest salary and the biggest person in Major League Baseball. They're paying Alex Rodriguez $22 million. As a DH, which means that he's, you know, all he does is he comes up and swings the bat. Carlos Beltran is a DH for them as well, making about $15 million. You got, you know, Jacoby Ellsbury at $21 million. And I believe Mark Teixeira is $23 million. And the beat goes on and on and on with all this money that's going out. But yet, when you look at the New York Yankees roster, the only person that actually sticks out is Alex Rodriguez.
And that's going to be a problem for the Yankees for at least the next couple of years, is they're financially, they're strapped because of all these huge contracts, and they're old. I mean, look at the guys you just named. They're all 35 plus. So right, it's going to take a while for their roster to get turned over, either from their farm system or free agency, to where they'll be competitive again.
Yeah, you know, and that's a sad thing, you know, because the Yankees are that type of a franchise to where if they're not winning, then it's bad for baseball. Whether you love them or not, you know, you need them to win. And it's like the Lakers in the NBA, and, you know, heaven forbid, the Dallas Cowboys, they don't do good. You know, the New York Yankees are that type of a franchise where if things aren't going well for them, then, you know, it doesn't look good. And so, you know, I'm looking for Cashman to get these guys turned around in the next couple of years, because there are a lot of no-name players on their roster. But then again, the handful that they do have that are so-called good players that you mentioned are 35 years or older, they're breaking the bank, man, and it's intense.
Yeah, and I mean, when I said they're financially strapped, I mean, they're the Yankees. They've got endless pocketbooks, endless bank accounts, so it's not that they don't have money. They're spending a ton, but at the same time, there's still the salary cap and the luxury tax. So even if they're spending frivolously and way over that, they'll still be hit with fines and penalties. So that's what I meant by them being strapped, and they're just bad contracts, and they have to get out of them before they can somewhat right the ship and, you know, be a force in the AL East and in the American League again.
Yeah, and, you know, again, as I said, you know, I don't have any doubts that, you know, the Yankees can do that. I love Boston. I love the fact that Boston is actually, you know, starting out the season right and, you know, and getting some things going. And, again, they're one of those teams that, you know, you look for them to win as well. And I think Boston and New York, which is probably one of the biggest rivals in baseball, you know, that it can only be the best thing for baseball when those two are definitely in their stride and winning. So we will take another break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the lush, plush green grass of Augusta. We're talking golf when we come back. So keep it locked here. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the best sports talk. And we'll be back on the double.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret, a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big-time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. And Sean, I know we're switching to golf, but before I forget, that was the voice of Nick Beckman leading us back from break. And he, as we know, he's been a guest on the show. He is a public address announcer for Seattle U basketball at Key Arena. I don't know if you saw on Facebook this past week, Sean, but he had a great opportunity and got to be the public address announcer at CenturyLink Field for a Seattle Sounders match. Can you imagine what that was like for him and the high he must have been on?
You know, I can't imagine that. You know, yeah, that sounds awesome, man. Of course, Nick does some great things for us. And, you know, it couldn't happen to a better person. Of course, he's going to be doing some things, I believe, in the U.S. Open, which comes up in June. And, you know, I'm sure you've been in contact with him as myself and, you know, seeing what's going on there, you know, and seeing what if we can possibly get up there for the U.S. Open. And so, you know, he's doing an awesome job.
Yeah, Nick actually got to work, I believe it was 3 or 4 days, possibly as long as a week at Chambers Bay as Fox wanted to do a trial run for the production portion of the U.S. Open, which, of course, as most people know, will be at Chambers Bay in University Place, Washington, right outside Tacoma. And it's yeah. I mean, if I were you, I would be knocking down doors, calling everybody, texting everybody, emailing anybody you can that might have something to do with the U.S. Open, because that will be probably 2+ weeks of work. Not only that, but the entire world is watching, and you're there getting paid to be in front of Tiger Woods, who will be there as long as he doesn't get injured between now and then. Jordan Spieth, the 21-year-old who just ran away with the Masters. And the great thing about the U.S. Open coming up, not only, of course, because it's in the Northwest, but it's the next major. So that's the next big, big event in golf. And so all eyes are focused on the Pacific Northwest.
You know, you had mentioned, you know, because we're touching a little bit on on the Masters, which, you know, this past weekend was just tremendous when you're talking about a young phenom in Jordan Spieth, 21 years of age. You know, at one point he had the record for the lowest score for the weekend, but then he wound up tying one Tiger Woods, and of course Tiger's still slightly ahead of him as far as winning his first major at 21 years and 3 months. Spieth doing it at 21 years and 10 months. But man, Jordan sure did look good from the beginning to the end. I mean, to lead from, you know, right from the first tee, you know, finishing minus 18, second place, Phil Mickelson, you know, which, I mean, this was a star-studded Masters, as they all are. But to see the cream rise to the top all at once, you had McIlroy come back, you know, from a dismal first round and a half to actually finish fourth at minus 12. And, you know, then there's Tiger Woods, as you were mentioning, who has been injured and hasn't been himself for, wow, some 3-4 years now, it seems like. And, you know, there have been murmurs that he was going to actually do well, and he felt confident in coming out in the Masters and playing well. And Sean, he didn't disappoint, man. I mean, even though he finished 5-under, I believe it was 5-under, and tied with Sergio Garcia, he looks like he's going to be that force here in the next couple of tournaments. And, you know, dare I say, Tiger Woods looks like he is back, man. It's just going to be a matter of time for him.
Well, it's good for golf. It's good for Chambers Bay and the U.S. Open. It's good for Augusta National and the Masters that just happened this weekend. It's good for television ratings because everybody knows Tiger. Tiger brings fans. Tiger has, you know, many, many people that watch just because of his name and the fact that he is playing, regardless of whether he's in first place or not going to make the cut, which doesn't happen too often. People tune in because of Tiger. He's the Michael Jordan of golf. And, you know, a guy like Jordan Spieth is, I can't even say an up-and-comer anymore, because he just won the Masters. And we've talked about him before on this show with guests like Todd Millis and Paul Gackel, guys that know golf, eat, sleep, and breathe it. And, you know, it's going to be a time at Chambers Bay in June, because who's it going to be? Is it going to be Tiger? Is it going to be Phil? Is it going to be Jordan Spieth? Is it going to be a Justin Rose who finished third? Is it going to be somebody maybe we haven't really ever heard of, but they come out of the woodwork and they love the Scottish Lynx style course that is Chambers Bay?
Yeah, that should bode well for Rory McIlroy, because that's his style. He likes the quick up and downs with the, you know, with the course, and, you know, it is looking great. I go online to take a look at what the course looks like. They have a live cam that they show at Chambers Bay, and man, that grass is looking plush, and everything is ripe and ready to go, and I'm excited, man. I do expect to be up there working for Fox, and so just waiting for that call. So if any of my Fox people are listening, you know I'm ready to go. So, yeah, it should be a lot of fun. As you were saying, I'm excited at the fact that Tiger Woods is back. You know, he's back and he's healthy. And, you know, for the first time in a long time, he is actually, you know, looked upon as an underdog. You know, he's always the favorite, but now you have a 21-year-old kid in Spieth, you have a 25-year-old in McIlroy, and, you know, these two guys are young and chomping at the bit at supremacy, as they sit at number one and two, you know, in the world. And now you're looking at Mickelson and you're looking at Tiger, and they're trying to, you know, keep what's theirs, you know, and so this should be fun. It should be a lot of fun, you know, in the U.S. Open, and I think that's probably going to be, you know, won a Tiger that actually he'll probably have one more tournament, and then next thing you know, here we are at the U.S. Open.
Yeah, Tiger's definitely, you would think, going to want to play in another tournament to continue to work on things, get the rust off, and be 100% top-notch form for the U.S. Open. Now, if he chooses not to participate in a smaller tournament, a non-major, between now and the U.S. Open, you know for sure he's going to be with his swing coach on the range, practicing whatever he can to fundamentally be right, and also maintaining whatever his golf workouts and exercises are to not only continue to get healthy, but stay healthy.
And that's the key, is staying healthy. I know that he dinged his finger or something like that on the ninth hole on Sunday, and you just don't like to hear those types of things, because it just seems like every time we watch Tiger, as of recent, something always happens. His back hurts. He strained something. And, he played excellent, I thought. And so, he doesn't need to hang his head or anything like that. I just see him doing some phenomenal things here, and I believe that the U.S. Open would be a great platform to do it up at Chambers Bay.
And the hope is that, there is a tight finish, something that comes down to, doesn't even have to be a playoff, but, down to the last hole or two, 17, 18 on that final Sunday at Chambers Bay, and have the country and the world watching. Ratings for Fox through the roof. They would love it. But for just everyone to be tuned in to that phenomenal golf course in University Place, Washington, world's best golfers are there. And yeah, it was great for the Masters and for Justin Spieth at the Masters to be leading from beginning to end, from the first round until the last round on Sunday. But he is the first golfer since 1976 to lead all four rounds. And Spieth was the first Masters champion since 1941, when Craig Wood had a closest opponent only three shots away. So really, nobody was a big threat to Spieth all weekend. And we'll see if he can carry that momentum all the way through to the U.S. Open.
I don't see any reason why not. I mean, these young guys play with no fear. I mean, they're taking shots at, that veterans take, and they're doing it with ease. And, it just seems like this day and age, the young golfer is maturing a lot faster than yesteryear. And you can credit that to Tiger Woods. You can credit that to Phil Mickelson and, some of the other golfers, of the past, of course. But, man, it's going to be a lot of fun. Definitely. And so, Pacific Northwest, get ready, because the U.S. Open is coming.
Now, Sean, before we run here, I will give a quick score update down in Los Angeles. Chavez Ravine, Dodger Stadium. The Mariners have extended their lead to 4-0. And I'll give you one guess as to who has homered yet again. Nelson Cruz bringing his boomstick to California, that is for sure. Fourth homer in 3 days. And we have back-to-back home runs. Kyle Seager followed that up with his first home run of the season.
Yeah, Kyle Seager, man. You thank goodness, finally coming around here. He's learning to play the hot spot. He's at third base. He's had a dismal season, to say the least, for these first six to seven games. He was batting 148, I believe, coming in. He's 1-for-2 for the day with an RBI, one of them being that home run that you're talking about. And, of course, Cruz is being Cruz. It's just amazing. Two hits, both of them out of the yard with three ribbies. And so he's starting to come around as well these past three games. And, again, I know you can't play too much as far as the averages are concerned, but, those bats need to wake up. And, the top of the lineup for the Mariners, they seem to have it down, but the rest of these guys are starting to catch up.
I was mistaken that it was Kyle Seager's second home run of the season, so I want to make sure we get that right. And yeah, it's it's definitely going to be a big thing for the Mariners moving forward if the middle of the order, the entire middle of the order, that being Cano, Cruz, and Seager, are hot. And if they're all hot at the same time, which definitely Cruz and Seager were in the top of the fourth inning, look out the rest of the league.
Yeah. Well, they still have to, here we go. They're still going to have to contest with those Athletics, man. And, you know, they're up 8-0 against, or 8-1 against Houston, which, you know, again, I'm expecting Houston to just bounce right back to where they should be. But, you know, the Oakland A's are making mincemeat out of the Houston Astros. So, you know, it's going to be fun. Hey, I do have breaking news that just came in. And, you know, I don't know, depending on how you feel about this, Raider Nation, I mean, some people might think that this is great to add to their receiver core. And, you know,
Sean, 1 second before you give this amazing breaking news out, do you have a new breaking news sounder ready?
Well, I might have one. I just know that for me, this is how I feel for this new person coming in. And, you know, for the Raiders to sign Michael Crabtree, I think is a great addition to a receiver core, even though some might think not. But I think that it is, you know, one of those. Yeah, exactly. I think that is definitely a blessing in disguise to have Michael Crabtree added with James Jones. And, you know, it strengthens their receiver core a little bit. You know, you want Derek Carr to have some people to throw to. Michael Crabtree didn't have the greatest of tenure in San Francisco. And, you know, I think this is a great place for Michael to get, you know, come in and show that he's a fantastic football player. And I think that he'll do well in Oakland.
Well, hey, he doesn't have to move. So that might have been part of the reason he chose to sign with Oakland, and he definitely needs a new opportunity because for whatever reason, things never got off on a consistent foot in San Francisco.
You know, and you know, who knows? It could be, maybe it was Michael, but you know, I keep pointing the finger back to Colin Kaepernick. You know, and I think that, you know, he and Colin just could not get on the same page for whatever reason, and it just became, you know, dismal for them to try to get that perfect. And in San Francisco, they had an excellent receiver core, and they still do. I mean, you know, there are a lot of weapons for Colin to throw to. And I just think Crabtree got lost in the shuffle, got nicked and dinged up a little bit, and now here's his chance to actually be that top receiver. I still believe that the Raiders are going to go after a receiver in the draft, especially after picking up Crabtree. And if they pick up, you know, one of these top receivers coming out, you know, now you're looking at a lot of weapons for Derek Carr with a strong offensive line that's been put together in the offseason and a major focus in the offseason and, you know, on the defensive side, especially at the linebacker position. I think Oakland could be a decent team. And I'll take that for now. I'll take decent over what I've been seeing over the past 8, 9, 10 years.
Well, I think Jack Del Rio might want to look up the area code and phone number for Pullman, Washington, and find Mike Leach and ask him how to get the most out of Michael Crabtree, because I think he was the last guy that did.
good point. But I think Mike Leach has to make sure that his own hide is saved, because, man, they have to have a pretty good season this year up in the Palouse if Leach is going to stick around.
I definitely agree with that statement, Sean.
So, man, show number nine. Are we at 98? Is this show? Is this?
Think about this.
This is show number 98. Tell me I'm right.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, you know, this is great, man. We're two shows away from coming, or towards 100. And, man, we still haven't figured out what we're going to do, what we're going to do for the listeners and how we're going to celebrate this one. And, you know, this is one of those things that, you know, we got to look forward to, man. Two more shows and we're at 100.
Man, we got to get on that, put the producer hat on and get the bat phone ready and bring out the big guns and some big, big guests for show 100.
Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely have to get on that saddle and ride it through. I mean, you know, this is something that's coming up for us, show number 100. So I'm really, really stoked for that. Oh, you're just going right, to have to bear with me, man. You're going to have to bear with me with these noises.
Hey, no, man, it's great. I wish I had a way to work more sound effects in the show. And you know, when I was at the Richland, Washington DSX studios, I attempted to play with some audio and be able to play things and insert things like that. So go for it, man.
Awesome stuff, man. Well, hey, I know that it is early in the morning. You probably have to lay your head down for just a couple of hours before you start the day again. So make sure before you do that, man, grab one of those Belgian waffles and tell me what you think of it, man. I'm thinking it's going to be awesome, you know, coming straight from Belgium.
Well, that's the rumor, you would think. So breakfast starts at 6:30, which is an hour and a half away. So we'll definitely do that here in a little bit. And I'll fill you in next Monday on the show. And that will be from the great country of England.
Oh, jolly old England. Man, that's exciting, man. So you're making the trek back and getting closer and closer. And pretty soon you'll be back here in the United States. We'll have to get together, hang out, and, you know, have some fun Double S Express style.
Yes, sir. Last 2 weeks of May. So you know when I'm free, so you make it happen, sir.
Good deal. For those of you who want to send us some ideas to the show, you can always email us. You can email me at Sean, S-E-A-N, at double-s-express.com or Sean Wally at S-H-A-W-N at double-s-express.com. Give us some of your ideas, what you think would be good for the show. Show number 98 in the books. Of course, you can also check us out at bbsradio.com/DSX. Again, bbsradio.com/DSX. And you can catch us on Twitter and Stitcher as well. We are stretching out so that everybody can get a chance to listen to On the Double. Show number 98 in the books for Sean Boyd. For Sean Wally and Don Newsom, I'm Sean Boyd. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.